Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, we read from the Epistle of St. James in the second chapter, a part of our epistle reading today. James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" This is the word of God. Please be seated. Well, picture yourself at the chief grocery store walking in from the parking lot. And, well, it's your lucky day. You find a quarter laying on the parking lot, tail side up. You bend down to pick it up. But to your chagrin, somebody has played a practical joke, and that quarter has been crazy glued to the pavement. You feel kind of silly, look around to check to see if anybody saw you try to pick it up, maybe is laughing at you, and then sheepishly make your way on into the store. Now, when you saw the visible side of that quarter laying there, tail side, even though it was crazy glued to the pavement, did you know what was on the other side of that coin that was invisible to you? Well, of course you did. When you see the tail side of the quarter with that American eagle and the words quarter dollar, you immediately know what's on the side that's not visible to you, the head side. It's the profile of George Washington. Because those two sides of the coin, we all recognize, belong together on the same coin. And the side of the coin that is visible to you informs you what's on the other side of the coin that's not visible to you. And what I want to suggest to you today is that the good works you do as a Christian, as a child of God, are like that. Good works are the visible, tangible evidence of the invisible faith in Jesus Christ that is in our hearts. Your faith and your good works are like the two sides of the same coin. Which is why St. James can say, "I will show you my faith, which is invisible, by my works, which are visible." The visible then points to the invisible. And it justifies to the world our claim to be genuine children of God. But what if that quarter that you found, this time head side up, was not glued down, and you pick it up, and strangely, when you flip it over, you discover that both sides of that coin are heads? What do you make of a quarter that is all heads and no tails? Now, you might think you've got something pretty special. Maybe a misstruck coin from the United States Mint that might be worth a ton of money. But no, I did a little research on that. Turns out that a double-headed quarter really is not worth much at all. And if you ever find a double-headed quarter, you should know immediately that it's not the real McCoy. A coin with two heads was usually crafted by an unscrupulous person who is looking to swindle you out of your money by convincing you that it's real and that it's rare. It's not. Or that quarter was made as a magician's prop or a novelty item. But whatever it is, that double-headed coin is not genuine. And what do you make of someone who claims to be a Christian, who says, "I have faith," but does not have good works? As if faith and good works can exist independent of each other in the life of a Christian. It's like St. James suggests somebody might argue, "Well, you have faith and I have works." But it's impossible, James says, that faith and works can be divorced from each other like that. And a person who claims to have one without the other is lying. A quarter that is all heads and no tails is not the real McCoy. And a Christian who is all faith and no good works is also not the real McCoy. Because as James says, faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Our Lord's analogy of the vine and the branches, I think, is most helpful in understanding all of this. Jesus says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Branches bear fruit. That's what they do. And if they don't, then they are good for nothing but to be cut off and thrown into the fire. And we can even go so far as to say that a branch that does not produce fruit is dead. And you know how we know it's dead? Because if it were alive, it would be producing fruit. And in the same way, James says, faith that does not produce the fruits of good works is dead. And you know how we know it's dead? Because if it were alive, it would be producing good works, inevitably. Good works are the natural outgrowth of faith in Christ. Faith and works are the two sides of the same coin. Now, that is not to say that we contribute to our salvation by our good works. We don't. Paul could not be more clear about that. He says in Romans, we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And even James says in the first chapter, he says, of his will, of God's will, we were brought forth by the word of truth. It is God who brought us forth as his children through faith. Salvation is entirely God's work. And when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he meant that. It's finished. That means there is no work of salvation that is left for you to do. Jesus obeyed all of God's laws for us. And now that law has been fulfilled. Paul says in Romans that Christ is the end of the law. He's the fulfillment of the law. The law has been kept and fulfilled. That's finished. And then St. Peter wrote, Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. The burden of your sin, all of it, has been lifted. That's finished. And St. Paul writes, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He died for sins that separated us from God. He died for all of them. And your forgiveness is complete, and reconciliation with God is complete. It is finished. You are forgiven. You are reconciled to God. Your salvation is a done deal. And let's rejoice in that. But what comes next when the Holy Spirit has called you to this Christian faith and hope? Well, what comes next are the fruits, the good works. Just as surely as the branch that has been grafted into the vine will begin to produce fruit. And so, dear Christian, the fact that you are saved by grace through faith is not an excuse for you to say there is nothing left for you to do. Just the opposite. This faith means that now more than ever, there is so much for us to do. So many people who need to be loved. Work that we want to do as Christians. Good works. And this is what Paul says in Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, Here it comes, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Walking in good works that God has prepared for us to do is how we show the world the invisible side of the coin, the faith that is in us. And it's how we justify to the world our claim to be the faith-filled people of God. And in that sense, what James says is true. We are justified by works, not by faith alone, he says. Because good works are the proof in the pudding that we belong to the Heavenly Father through His Son. As Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And what are the good works that God has prepared for us to do, that we might walk in them? You might know how Martin Luther, before he was enlightened by the gospel, thought that to do a good work, you had to go out of your way and do something extraordinary for God. Things like, you know, become a monk, pray so many times a day, say so many Our Fathers, fast, give up your earthly possessions and wealth, make pilgrimages to shrines and pray in front of relics and give alms and climb holy stairs and all of that. But Luther later on came to discover that the good works in which God would have us to walk, which He's appointed for us to do, are really usually much simpler than that. Good works, you see, are not directed toward God as if He needs us to do something for Him. True good works are directed at your neighbor as deeds of love. For as Luther says, God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. Sure, good works can be extraordinary, things that are kind of over and above, maybe a mission trip. Maybe you're going to give a generous gift like the Macedonians did that's a little above your means, but you're going to give it anyway. Or dedicate your life to ministry or organize a soup kitchen, those kinds of things, those big things. But good works don't have to be big things. For the most part, the work that God has given you to do, that you should walk in them, is simply to be the very best that you can be in whatever calling, whatever vocation He has placed you into for the benefit of your neighbor. Are you a parent? Well, then good work for you is to provide for your closest neighbors, your family, food, shelter, clothing. Raise your children in the fear and love of the Lord, and do not exasperate them with unrealistic expectations that even you couldn't live up to, but be patient and kind. Those are your good works. Are you a child? Then a good work for you is to honor your parents. Diligently do your schoolwork by which God is getting you ready for a life of service to your neighbor one day. That's your good work. Are you an employee? Then a good work for you is to work earnestly and eagerly at your job so that your employer gets an honest day's work from you and your neighbor benefits from whatever it is that you do, whether you milk the cows or make the cars. Are you a member of the church? Then a good work for you is to attend worship, not to score points with God, but because your presence is an encouragement to others. It's not just about us, you see. It's about each other. And of course, by being here, your own faith grows and you increase in knowledge and love. That's your good work. And by works like these, on the visible side of the coin, the invisible side, our faith, becomes palpable and real to our families, to our employers, to our neighbors, to each other in the body of Christ, to the glory of God. And if you really want to do something over and above as a good work, something extraordinary, James has a suggestion. And this really is extraordinary. He sets up a scenario where it's a worship service and a rich man comes in with all of his fine regalia and everybody oohs and ahs over him, tends to him, and here comes a poor person, shabbily clothed, and they say to that poor person, well, they said to the rich person, here, you have the best seat. They say to the poor person, you go stand over there or sit at my feet. Well, it reminds me of something that happened in the congregation that I served up in Michigan. And I often think about this because I was so proud of the people. One Sunday morning, a stranger came to church, a lady who, as St. James says, was in shabby clothing. She was obviously poor. But the hard part of this was that, and I don't know how to say this kindly, but she reeked. Just horrible. This poor lady apparently could not afford the luxury of a shower like all of the clean people in church. But what I saw that day made me so proud. As members of the congregation took notice of her. They could have just left her standing off by herself, but they took notice of her, went up to her, welcomed her, shook her hand, and then even invited her to sit next to them, as hard as that was, to sit next to them in worship so they could help her with the hymnal and with the worship service. They loved as they had been loved. They showed their faith by what they did. And I could cite many examples of the ways that I have seen you do the same thing. How your love for Christ became active in good works directed toward your neighbor. How you loved someone who was hard to love. How you took notice of a person that most people just overlooked and ignored. How you befriended the friendless and helped the helpless, how you attended to the poor, how you forgave an offense and let it go, how you showed mercy to someone who needed you and you encouraged them, how you put an arm around a grieving friend to comfort them with the same comfort you had received in Christ, how you took an office in the congregation or even taught in the Sunday school to serve Christ through His church and His people and His little ones. How you visited someone who was sick or lonely in the nursing home. How you took food to a family who was struggling in a time of tragedy. I've seen it in so many ways. You know, James says, show me your faith apart from your works, as if that were even possible. How else can faith show itself but through good works? Faith and good works are the two sides of the same coin. And so we, as the people of God in Christ, we will show this world our faith. We will show each other our faith by our good works. And the world will know that we are the real McCoy, beneficiaries of Christ's saving work, who just can't help ourselves but to be good to others, loving them because Jesus first loved us. In His precious name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.